Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Film Haven Reviews. I'm your host Sawyer, as always, and today we are continuing our 70s car chase scene films with the 1973 good old boy movie with Burt Reynolds called White Lightning. And we'll get into that in just a second, but first of all, I'd like to point out a milestone within the podcast. If you haven't noticed, this is the 52nd episode, and what that means is this is the one-year anniversary of the show. My first episode, Megan, came out in the last Friday of March in 2023, and this is the last Friday of March in 2024. So for all of my friends and my family and all the people that I've picked up along the way, I just really wanted to thank you guys for sticking with me and listening to this and hearing me rant about movies and Allie sometimes when she comes on. You know, it's really been a lot of fun for me, and you know, this is one of those times where you want to sit down and kind of like reflect and be like, okay, do I like this? Has this been fun? And I mean, there's no question. This is awesome. Like, I would be doing this if no one was listening, because it's just fun and it's a good excuse for me to get into these movies that I maybe otherwise would be maybe too lazy to get around to watching. So this has like been such a great journey for me, and I'm definitely thinking of ways and expand the podcast. And you know, I have been really busy because I do go to school and I have work and I have all these other things I have to do, you know, being an adult and all this stuff. But this is definitely a passion project for me, and it's something that I want to continue to grow. And so I've got a couple ideas coming down the pipeline that I'm going to think about implementing in order to expand the show and maybe create a little bit of a uniqueness to this podcast. It might not always be just this. You know, I do have my special episodes every once in a while, but I'm thinking about doing a whole kind of side thing. But that's for future stuff. I'm still developing that. But just know that it's not always just going to be me ranting about a movie, you know, off the cuff like I always do, which is fun for me, and I'm sure for some of you who like these kind of movies is great too. But I'm getting an idea to creating something a little bit more structured to have as like a secondary half of the show. So I will always have this where I take a theme of three and kind of loosely have fun talking about it and discussing it, and you know, kind of in that casual way that maybe a lot of people enjoy, because it's maybe a little bit more entertaining and not as serious. But I'm also developing ideas for things to do that are a little bit more curated, might even have a script, that kind of stuff. So that's just a little hint at things in the future. But anyway, I just wanted to once again say thank you for everyone that's been listening. You know, I definitely have a good core of, you know, longtime listeners and people that check in with me every Friday and download the episode, and I really appreciate that. It makes my whole week whenever I see some of those same people coming in and downloading the episode. I know I got some listeners from Las Vegas now, and I got listeners from California and all over the country, and of course my German listener, you know, always got to throw you out. Thank you for always coming back in. You've been with me since the beginning, and I really appreciate that. And so, yeah, I mean, I could name a few others. There's a lot of return customers these days, which is really nice. And I want to continue to foster more people that are willing to take this ride through cinema with me. But anyway, also, I hate doing this because I'm not really much of a self-promoter. It's just not really in me to do that, but I know that I need to if I want to, like, you know, grow the podcast. So if you haven't already, you know, leaving like a 5-star rating on Spotify or wherever you're listening to the podcast, that would just be so helpful. It lets me know how I'm doing and whether I'm getting feedback, you know, because it's hard to really look at the metrics a lot of times and know really what's going on. So the best way for me to know whether people are liking the show is if they rate it and I see those numbers, and also reviews. I don't really know if people do that anymore. I'm going to be honest, I never review podcasts, so I guess I can't hold you guys to that. But at the same time, if you feel like you want to, that's great. And Spotify, of course, has the Q&A section that they've implemented within the last year, which is really nice. If you guys have any comments on the specific episodes, because I love to hear feedback, and I can publish those comments onto the main page, so you can, you know, you can be seen on each episode page, which is really cool. But anyway, that's almost 5 minutes of housekeeping, which I think is gross because the whole point of this podcast is to be really fast and lean in a way and just be about the movies. But sometimes I gotta, you know, I figure my 1 year anniversary is a good time to kind of break the mold a little bit and kind of do some housekeeping. So anyway, let's get into this movie because it's really fun. And I don't know how much I'm going to have to talk about it, but, you know, I always say there's not much to talk about it. And the next thing you know, it's a 30 minute episode. So today we have the very interesting and fun movie White Lightning, like I said, from 1973, starring Burt Reynolds. This is like a really young Burt Reynolds. He's really coming into his own and kind of creating this new, this persona that would later become things like Smokey the Bandit, these Southern movies, as they're called, or a lot of people call them his good old boy movies. You know, this is his first good old boy movie. Which I think is funny. It's very apt because if you watch the movie, you immediately know he is a good old boy. You know, I didn't grow up exactly in Nashville. I grew up just west of Nashville, and in my town, you know, it is a little country, and so I grew up with a lot of people that are, you know, pretty country and pretty good old boys. You know, I grew up with a bunch of good old boys, so I definitely understood some of the people in this movie. I mean, obviously it's from a bygone era. It's from the 70s. I didn't grow up at that time, but you know, the remnants of that culture is still very much in kind of the rural areas, and that can be really fun. I mean, obviously there's problems with it, as we'll talk about, because you know, the corruption, moonshine running, and you know, a sheriff that's basically running the entire town based off of illegal alcohol running. As for the synopsis, it's actually pretty simple. Burt Reynolds is in jail because they don't really mention it specifically, but I think it was like running moonshine or what they call a blocker, which is like basically a car that runs screen for the main moonshine runner. So you have two cars running the moonshine from one place to another. And if the cops catch you, you have that middle guy there to kind of distract the cops and get the main guy to his destination without being caught. So it's implied that's why he's in jail, because he was doing some illegal activities with regards to moonshining. Funny side note, the movie's called White Lightning, which is, of course, another name, a nickname for moonshine. So the whole movie is very much around moonshine and running moonshine, and that very much plays into the whole backwoods, good old boys, country county kind of backdrop that we have in this movie. But anyway, so Burt Reynolds is in kind of one of those old school prison systems where it's like out in the country, and he's been on good behavior because his character is kind of like, although he's rough and tumble, he's like a perfect example of like there's mischief in his eyes, but there's gold in his heart kind of thing, where, you know, he doesn't really want to kill anybody. He may be a little rough, and he's definitely not like a great, super nice guy, but he at the same time is like, he's not trying to hurt anybody. He just wants to look cool, look bad, and drive fast cars and stuff like that. Like, he doesn't really like authority, but at the same time, like, he loves his mama and papa, and he's, you know, and he's very close to his family. And he, like I said, he's not trying to hurt anybody. He's not trying to kill anybody. He's got he has a conscience, but at the same time, he just chose a life. You know, he's a little bit rough around the edges. He chose a life of illegal activity because it was probably more fun for him. And he was never really the learning type. He wasn't going to go to school like his little brother Donnie. But that's the problem, because at the beginning of the movie, little brother Donnie gets murdered. And you see it, and it's pretty rough, actually. I mean, it's not super visceral or anything like that, but basically him and this other person are tied to a canoe, and they're being led out in the canoe by what I notice as Ned Beatty, which is crazy. We'll get into that later. But as you learn very soon, he's the sheriff, and him and his deputy have basically taken these boys out into the lake, into like a swampy lake, and they take the since they're tied to the canoe, they shoot the canoe and let it sink, and then the boys are just tied to it and they just get drowned, which is pretty brutal, but it's also a very effective intro. I mean, it definitely grabs your attention. You're like, okay, what's going on here? And anyway, so that is actually, like I said, it's Donnie. That is Burt Reynolds' little brother. And when Burt Reynolds finds out while he's in jail that his little brother has been murdered, and he wants to know what's going on, and so he tries to escape, and it doesn't work out so well. He gets caught. But then, as the basically the warden of the jail, who has a soft spot for Burt Reynolds, because once again, now that Burt Reynolds is put into an institution, he's kind of thriving. He's just working at the shop, you know. He's doing well because he just needed a little bit of structure. He's not like a bad guy once again. But anyway, he's got a hot head though. You know, he lets his emotions take over him and all that kind of stuff. So instead of punishing him too much, the warden actually gets a hold of the feds because he knows that the person who definitely killed Donnie is the sheriff of Bogan County, Ned Beatty's character. And the sheriff basically, you know, they have a saying where they're like, he's not just the sheriff of Bogan County, he owns Bogan County. And they say that several times. But they're trying to say he's super corrupt and he basically is running the entire county like a tyrant. But the feds can't get onto him because he's dealing in cash. And the way he makes his money and the way he runs the town is by basically blackmailing people and also running moonshine. And through that illegal trade, he is making a lot of money for the county. And so a lot of people, especially even within the sheriff department, they don't want to push back or inform on the sheriff because they're getting kickbacks as well. And the sheriff says it himself later, you know, like, you know, they don't give us enough taxpayer dollars for these deputies to even be able to buy a washer and dryer. You know, they can't get their necessities. And so that's why I'm doing this illegal activity, so I can fill these boys' coffers and allow them to have a decent living for their families. And, you know, there is maybe something to that, as in that maybe I would imagine the sheriff's deputies and stuff were underpaid, but obviously that's not the way to do it. Back to the story, Burt Reynolds basically gets hired on as a undercover agent. He needs to go to Bogan County and he needs to ingratiate himself with the moonshine running kind of community in that area. And by doing so, he can find some kind of evidence, some kind of physical evidence, some ledger or something that's not just cash that can nail the sheriff. And that's, you know, basically he gets freedom in exchange to do that. And he gets the side gig of being able to figure out or just nail the guy who he knows killed his brother. So that's pretty much the plot of the movie. I mean, it's him going undercover, getting involved with the moonshine running business and trying to nail the sheriff while the sheriff is trying to do the opposite. He's trying to keep his hold on power and trying to stop. He finds out pretty early on that there might be an informant around. And so it really is not too much of a mystery. It doesn't take him too long to figure out that Burt Reynolds is the guy. And, oh, by the way, Burt Reynolds' name is Gator, which is just amazing. His real name is Bobby in the movie, but everyone calls him Gator. And in fact, there's actually a sequel. I didn't even know this until after I watched this movie. It was like kind of, cause of course Tubi had this movie, which is incredible, man. Much love to Tubi, because you just have all these like weird movies from back in the day that are just, that are honestly awesome. You're not going to see this on Netflix, that's for sure. Anyway, so there's actually a sequel called Gator from in 1976, and Burt Reynolds actually directed it, which is really cool. So he obviously liked being in this movie. He had a fondness for it, and I guess in some ways it started this section of his career. But I mean, he was actually in 1972, he was in the movie Deliverance, which is, you know, this is a callback because obviously if you've been listening for a while, you know that episode 10 of the podcast was on Deliverance. So this is kind of like a weird sequel to that, like a team up, because Ned Beatty and Burt Reynolds were both in that movie and now they're in this movie only 1 year later. So there's kind of a fun continuity to that. And I did not know that going into the movie. So when I saw Ned Beatty, I was like, wait a second, what year was did this come out? And it was only 1 year later, which is just, I just love that. I love when I see actors team back up again. And this time Ned Beatty plays a completely different character than he does in Deliverance. I got to give much love to Ned Beatty because he seems to have a lot of good range. I mean, obviously his character in Deliverance is very iconic. And in this movie, he's like hard boiled, you know, power driven, sheriff, and he plays it really well. He's him and Burt Reynolds are definitely the highlights of this movie, and they play off well with each other. But anyway, so let's just talk about general things about the movie that I liked. I mean, one of the things I loved about the movie is how authentically Southern. I mean, I think it's supposed to take place in Arkansas, Benton, Arkansas, Bogan County. And that just, you really feel, it's like kind of, it must be, I haven't looked up exactly where Benton is, but it has to be somewhat Southern, like Southern Arkansas or something. It definitely feels almost like Louisiana. you get a very similar feeling to like the Bayou. You know, everyone's all talking like Gator. Yeah, everyone's got this accent on and they're saying all these funny little quips. And I wish I had some quotes because there is so many quotable moments in this movie just because of the way that they talk. And I love that Southern dialect that they're using in the movie. It really shows that there is an actual almost different language or mode of communication in that part of the country, especially during that time. And like I said, it just kind of brings me back to, people and certain cultures from when I grew up. And hearing that good old boy speech is just kind of funny and very entertaining. And it also is a bit of a time capsule for that period of time. Now, not all the things there were great. I definitely will admit that. But there is definitely a culture there. And it's being kind of remembered through this movie. Through this movie's existence. But anyway, also, everyone in the movie is just so sweaty. It's just like they're definitely trying to encapsulate what it's like to be in this area. Every single person in the movie is just sopping with sweat for the entire movie, Burt Reynolds included. And it's so like gross, but at the same time, it gives you a sense of place. You know what this movie reminds me of a lot is like the more recent movie, The Paperboy. I feel like The Paperboy with Zac Efron and Matthew McConaughey and Nicole Kidman. Oh, there's so many. John Cusack. It's a big movie. But anyway, that movie, which is such a weird vibe. If you've ever seen that movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that movie also has the same vibe where it's like so sweaty. Everyone is just always gross. It's definitely Deep South kind of film. And I almost feel like that movie is not, I don't know if it's a parody or maybe more of a callback to these types of movies. These kind of good old boy movies. That one is had a little bit more mystery to it, a little bit more like noirish, maybe like Deep South noir. That's a weird movie, and it's got a lot of clashing things going on. Check that movie out if you haven't seen it, because it is definitely a unique film. But yeah, this movie just had a really great vibe. I mean, Burt Reynolds is like at peak cool. He has that kind of Southern Bubba like attractiveness to him. He's rugged, but he also is like. I mean, he's not like the most incredible actor in the world, but what he does really well is when he's driving, he's got those little like eye cocks and just kind of like, chewing on a toothpick and like smiling a little, like half smiling. And those smirks are just like really endearing. And you're kind of just like, oh, he's a bad boy. But like also, he kind of has he always says the right things. He's got all these little quips that he's saying, but he's always just got like a twinkle in his eye. He definitely, he's got the sideburns and everything. I mean, if you know Burt Reynolds, but this is like young peak Burt Reynolds. He's really coming to his own in this movie, and you could tell he's definitely got a really good personality that carries the movie a lot. He's just very cheeky, and also kind of has that nefarious, mischievous look that's always going on. And you mix that with the setting of this Deep South setting, and then you mix that with the culture of moonshine running that they're bringing. I mean, his main informant that he like buddies up with is named Dude Watson. Dude Watson. You got Gator and Dude trying to take down the sheriff of Bogan County. I mean, just that sentence right there, you kind of get the idea of this film. But also, as with the theme of this movie, I know I'm like 18 minutes into the podcast and I haven't even talked about what the theme is, the things pertaining to the theme, which is the car chase scene. And there's a few great car chase scenes in the movie. The first two in particular are awesome. As soon as Burt Reynolds gets out, as soon as Gator gets out of the pen, they give him a 1971 Ford Custom 500 and he tears up the road. He just starts going, whee! And you just see him kicking up dust and spinning out onto the road, and almost immediately a cop tries to pull him over because he's like speeding on the road, obviously. And he says, he gets that smile, that little twinkle in his eye, and he says, "Room!" And he decides that he's gonna make a run for it. So he's going through town, whipping around corners, and the cop's trying desperately to keep up with them. They even get a motorcycle cop in there, and they're both, all of them are trying to catch this guy, and they don't even know who he is, but he just blows them away, one maneuver after another, taking corners, doing 360s and flipping around. And I mean, it's really fun. I mean, this is like what this movie should be about, and it definitely delivers on the things that I wanted for the 70s car chase scenes. It definitely has some really really fun scenes. The second scene is great too, because it's when he's blocking, he's doing that moonshine blocking I was talking about before for the buddy that he's kind of trying to make good with so that he can get into the to the system. And so he has to really prove himself. So he successfully blocks for the moonshine runner. And in doing so, he like has this even longer chase that is just, I mean, it's just one thing after another. And it ends on him like hitting a ramp, a dirt ramp, and going and landing on a barge, like halfway onto the barge. And it's just, it's so ridiculous. You know, it definitely is screaming like proto Smokey and the Bandit. Almost a, like, definitely a little Dukes of Hazzard. You know, I don't really know when Dukes of Hazzard was running, if it was around this time. Nope, I just looked it up, and the show started in 1979, so you can definitely tell that like shows like Dukes of Hazzard were very influenced by this movie, like White Lightning. It has a very similar vibe, you know, kicking up dirt, running from the law, and hitting big jumps, and it's really fun. Like, it's really fun to watch. So during those scenes in particular, I was very much engaged, and it was high octane, and it gave me exactly what I was wanting. However, and yes, there is a however in this movie. If you were just to take the first half of this film, I was honestly almost thinking giving it an 8, because it really perfectly embodies this whole entire time period. You know, there's a lot of laughable moments, but the way the movie is filmed, the genre is just kind of laughable a little bit. And the comedy is a little bit baked into the culture. And so it was totally fine. I mean, even though it was like maybe like not always intentional laughter, the movie was just so well embodying the genre that it was trying to forge a path for, that you had to love it. Like the first half, like I said, it's just so good. And with the car chase scenes, that those first two happen in that first half, I was really digging the movie. But then the second half happened, and it just kind of started to drag, unfortunately. It wasn't horrible or anything, but the excitement that I was feeling in that first half started to wane. They had a kind of an unnecessary side plot with one of the Moonshine Runner's girlfriends that Burt Reynolds was starting to get involved with. It was just, the movie was an hour and 44 minutes long, I think, but it really, that's a 90-minute movie if I've ever seen one, and they really needed to do some serious cutting down in order to make it happen. And on top of that, the ending is super abrupt. Like, the ending just absolutely just comes out of nowhere, and then boom, the movie's over. There's no exposition afterwards, which, of course, I am generally okay with that. I think a lot of times I hate when movies tie things up into a bow too much, but this one left it on too much of a, like, just, it was more of a rushed ending. It wasn't so much that like it was a good cliffhanger or anything like that. It was just the movie was going, and then it was just over, and that's it. So I didn't like that either. The second half was just not nearly as good as the first half. So whereas the first half would be like an 8 out of 10, the second half was like a 6 out of 10. So I think what I'm going to do is end up saying 7 out of 10 to be safe, because it was overall enjoyable, even though the second half wasn't incredible. It wasn't horrible either. And they did have a pretty satisfying last car chase scene as the finale. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all bad. It just wasn't nearly as good as the first half. So yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I could go on about little details here and there, but I think you guys get the idea of what this movie is. If you like those kind of down south, really sweaty movies, which that doesn't sound like I'm selling it too much, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to hear the banter, all the one-liners, and the car chase scenes are great. The action's pretty good. And there's some drama. There's melodrama in it as well, like pretty serious melodrama, which I think Burt Reynolds is definitely better at the one-liners than he is at the melodrama. But at the same time, it still fits the genre like really well. I think it's basically a genre pitch perfect movie. Like, for the kind of thing that they were going for, this movie really delivers. I just think it should have been a little leaner. They should have edited some stuff and kept it to like a brisk 90-minute movie, because, you know, it's just for fun. It's just kind of a fun movie. It doesn't have to be that serious. You definitely don't need that extra 15 minutes. It just dragged the whole thing on. But there was a lot to love about this movie, and it fit the theme perfectly. So I can't complain when it comes to that. And I gotta say, I want to see Gator. I want to see the sequel to this movie, because it was entertaining enough for me to wonder where this story goes. But anyway, I hope you guys have a great week this week. And thank you once again for listening and tuning in every week. I really appreciate it. And I hope it's just as much fun for me as it is for you guys. So have a good week this week, and I will see you next Friday. Also, a quick edit. I just realized that I said that this was episode 52 at the beginning of the episode, but it's definitely episode 53. But it is 1 year afterwards. I think leap year messed me up. But I just wanted to clarify that because I know some people might send me a message and be like, you said it was 52, but it's actually 53. But no, yeah, I know. I figured it out very shortly after the completion of this recording. So anyway, have a good week, guys. Bye.